the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Apologize. Well, light is essential to life. Without any light at all, a plant cannot survive. Light enables plants to transform inorganic matter into organic. Light gives plants their color. And most plants will actually train, they'll bend themselves in the direction of the source of light in order to survive. Light is important to our bodies as well. You know, people who live far in the north, like above, like in Alaska or above the Arctic Circle, they know this. Most struggle with those times of the year when there's hardly any sunlight whatsoever. I mean, take away light and our bodies lose critical nutrients. Everything from hair to skin to our organs are impacted by light or the lack thereof. And often one of the best things that you can do when you're healing from some sickness is just to go sit outside and get some sun. Light brings health. And in Scripture, light and salvation go hand in hand. We saw this in the psalm. In the psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And then Isaiah, who's also quoted in the gospel, Isaiah gives us this picture of just how bad off things were at Jesus' arrival on earth. More than just some intellectual aha moment, Epiphany is about the light of Christ coming to a people whose poverty of soul is so deep that it can only be described as darkness and death. And for a few weeks now, we've been watching the story of Christ unfold as he is revealed to the world. And he is described as this great light that comes and brings salvation to the world, shining light out into the darkness. He brings health to the sick, life to the dead, and hope to the hopeless. Now, in our text, though it's true that the entire world at this time was utterly spiritually dark, as we look at Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9, it's very specific. He talks about the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. This light would come to these two specific people groups. And so Jesus packs up his bags and he goes to Galilee. See, the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, this is very important because these were the furthest northern tribes of the people of Israel. When the people of Israel went into the promised land and all the sections of the promised land were carved out, and Judah went here and Benjamin went there and all the rest, they went all around. Zebulun and Naphtali were at the farthest north, up above the Sea of Galilee. And what happened was that when the kingdom was divided after Solomon, they went with the northern tribes. So they were part of that kingdom that split off. And they were some of the first tribes to abandon God for idolatry. They're also some of the first tribes that got carried away into exile, into Assyria, and later on into Babylon. And for hundreds of years, these people have lived in slavery and in darkness spiritually. And the gospel message in just this simple note, in this Isaiah prophecy, and in these two tribes, and in magnifying them, the gospel message is this, that though they had abandoned God, and though they weren't even looking for God at this time, the Lamb of God has now come to them to shine light to them. There's another reason why Galilee is so important in this story at this moment in Jesus' life. Because as the people return from exile and they return to their lands, there were Gentiles that had already occupied this area. And so they came in and started to set up their homes. And you have the Gentiles and you have Jews that were living side by side up until this very moment. And by definition, Gentiles live in spiritual darkness. I mean, they were foreigners to God's covenant. They had never had any connection. There was no way for a Gentile to know God. Darkness was simply a part of who they were. Most likely, they didn't even think of themselves as living in darkness. And yet, when God comes to the region of Galilee, when Christ packs his bag and moves north, he goes to show mercy to a people who aren't even looking for light. You know why Jesus generated such huge following? Do you know why people actually went after? I mean, miracles are one thing. There was free bread every once in a while. You know, people were getting healed. It was kind of miraculous. But the reason that people followed Christ is because it's awful living in darkness. It's awful. It's horrid. The Jews must have felt abandoned by God. Even the faithful, God hadn't spoken to them for hundreds of years. They felt abandoned. And the Gentiles, without light, their lives could only be characterized by darkness and hopelessness. And so, as Jesus comes, this light of truth unfolds before them. It exposes to them their brokenness and their despair and their need for light. They didn't know they needed it, but now once they see it, they know, I need that. So they followed Jesus. It revealed their souls for what they were. Light came and open their eyes to their deep, darkest needs. Has anybody ever felt lost? Has anybody ever felt living in darkness? Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe you felt abandoned. Abandoned by God, let alone by people. Maybe you felt that before. Maybe you're feeling that right now. Maybe you've gotten to a point in your life where it just feels generally dark and I just don't know why. And I don't know what to do about it. Maybe it's the circumstances of life that take us to those dark places. Maybe it's that day-to-day struggle with family or a struggle with sickness. Or maybe it's, I don't know, unfulfilling work or relationships or whatever it is. Epiphany says that Christ comes to shine light in all of that. He comes to shine light into our darkness, into our needs, to give us hope in the midst of our despair, to give us healing in the midst of our brokenness. See, Zebulun and Naphtali, they were the forgotten places. They were the forgotten tribes. They were the people that have long since lost any contact with God. And then the Gentiles, they had never experienced hope whatsoever. But the gospel call is this. Listen, the gospel means that the call of Christ goes out to all, Jew, Gentile, and even us. In order that salvation may come to all the world, those who live in a land of deep darkness, which is everybody, everybody then and everybody now, those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. That's what this is about. That's what Epiphany is about. That's what the coming of Christ is about. He shines light on us. And then finally, the other thing in our passage, in our passages, that we see that Jesus comes to do is to unify a people to himself. I mean, Jews and Gentiles were as different as night and day. And yet Christ's kingdom would come and transcend all of those differences. The light that comes is powerful enough to overcome these and any other distinctions and unite a people, a new creation to himself, to Christ. I mean, Paul teaches this throughout his epistles, that we are united to Christ. And it's this critical part of Jesus' ministry and life that he brings people together to be one. At the end of Jesus' life, one of the last things he prays in John in chapter 17 is that his people would be united. If we are all in Christ, then we are united to each other, whether we like it or not. Thank you for a little bit of chuckle there. We are united to each other and seeking our own unity should be one of our highest priorities. Why do I say this? Well, first of all, this is why the epistle passage is so critical and so significant in our lectionary, because Corinth was not unified. Corinth, that church was messed up. They were fighting about everything. In this section of Corinthians, Paul is addressing their divisions over what teacher they followed or who baptized them. And here's the thing. What Jesus went north to Galilee to accomplish, unifying believers in himself, what he went to do was not happening in Corinth. And so Paul implores them to be united in mind and in purpose. And this is a word for us as well, because as we start a new chapter in the life of this church, we are called to come together, to lock arms, to walk shoulder to shoulder, to put aside our differences, whatever they are, and work together as fellow members of the body of Christ to whatever it is he's called us to do as Church of the Holy Spirit. Whatever divisions exist, they must be set aside. And it's not about just getting along. I mean, that's good to get along. I mean, I like y'all, but The thing is, we're called to be bearers of that light that has shined on us. And we do that through coming together in unity. We're no different than the people of Zebulun, Naphtali, or the Gentiles. We were, maybe are, lost, stumbling in darkness, seemingly without hope. Well, Christ has come north to us. And he has showed us mercy, and he is leading us into his light. Even the calling of the disciples was this opportunity for a whole disparate group of people to come together, united in Christ for a purpose, for a task. And what did they accomplish according to our text? They became fishers of people. Single-handedly, these 12 individuals started the entire Christian church. Who were they? Fishermen, tax collectors, royalty, and zealots. They were egotists, liars, doubters, and thieves. If Jesus can shine the light of his gospel on this group and do amazing things, oh Lord, he can do it in us, and he will. That's my calling to us this morning. Amen.